Good morning, everybody. Today is Thursday, September 24th, 2015, and this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Thursday, everybody. Hope you're having a good week. This has been a long, busy one for me, but it's almost over. It is 58 degrees and partly sunny here in upstate New York. I think it's going to be a nice one again today. Might want to get outside and do something before the snow flies. I heard they already were getting snow up in the mountains, up in, I don't know where it was, Montana, the guy said. There's a little bit of snow in Montana and maybe in Colorado. I don't know, but it's too early for me. September is not even over yet, and we are just into the first official day of fall. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Nano Patch Diagnostics, Vaccine Patch, and Foreign DNA. And we looked at a whole bunch of crazy stuff. They now have these countless little nano needle thingies that they can put the patch on your arm and not only give you vaccines transdermally, which of course they have 271 new ones waiting in the pipeline, and we can't have them walking around with needles trying to jab everybody, so they had to find a new, happy, easy way to get the new vaccines into you. But they also have on-site diagnostics where they can diagnose all kinds of diseases by looking at DNA signatures to determine what ails you and then come up with some new wondrous precision medicine cure for you. I want to continue, and I don't really know how far I want to continue. I want to continue on the foreign DNA part. There was a story at the end of the show that was titled Foreign DNA Trapped Inside You May Be Changing Your Behavior. And it had gone through all kinds of different ways that we can get foreign DNA inside of our bodies. One, of course, was having a child, having sex with somebody we discovered. Also, eating food does the same thing. That's why eating anything that has foreign DNA in it, such as GMO food, things that are infected with, there's a chipmunk outside, right outside the door, that is really irritating and distracting right now. I might have to close that door. Hold on. I'm going to have to sing. I can't think when I hear him squeaking. Okay. Anyway, when there's anything foreign inside you, it becomes incorporated into your cells. Your body uses food, especially as fuel. We found out also in looking at a Stanford study, this woman was doing a study in regards to that aborted fetal tissue that exists in a lot of the vaccine strains, and found that there were strands of broken DNA pieces that were being absorbed into the human DNA of the children that had been vaccinated with those vaccines. And she was thinking that it may be responsible for some of the autism that they're seeing. So it's very dangerous to me, I think, for us to go ahead and think that none of this is affecting us in the long term. You know, we've looked at transhumanism. We've looked at some of this mad science evil plan that seems to be forming here across the board. And I keep remembering a video that we heard out of RT. Oh, this was probably from last year. Hold on, I'm going to connect here. I think I got Skype all queued up. And I mean, when we think about everything that we know now about DNA and DNA RNA switch flipping and GMOs and some of the horrifying things that they're working on in the lab.
You know, according to a researcher at the Global Brain Institute, a completely new human species will inhabit the Earth in just over 30 years. Now, this evolutionary step could be comparable to the transition from apes to humans. So, what kind of people will we become?
And so here's a question. An entirely new human species will emerge in just 30 years? Well, how would that be possible? What, we're going to evolve that quickly from quote unquote climate change? No. I'm going to propose that it's all the shit that they're putting in our food, but whoops, we got rid of labeling laws. It's all the shit they're putting into our vaccines because, whoops, we all need to get our vaccines so we don't ruin another Disney vacation for Johnny. And with all of this genetically, I don't even know what I want to call it. Like, I get so upset over this. Genetically manipulated in the eyes of man technology that you're supposed to shut up and take and not question because it's science. Science knows best. They are literally changing human 1.0. They are literally creating biology 2.0, which includes synthetic organisms. I'm going to look at some of that stuff today. All right, let's play the rest of this.
Well, they say our biological clocks will undergo dramatic changes, which will allow us to live longer and give birth at an older age.
Yes, let's have babies at 70.
And of course, technology will continue to make our lives easier. All kinds of microchip implants will be placed in our ears and our fingers and make many devices completely obsolete. But
yes, the Immortality Project.
But this dependence on technology has its drawbacks, of course. In the future, humans are going to have to compete for jobs against, you guessed it, machines and cyborgs.
And robots! Oh my God! I don't know. This clip, yeah, this came out in September. So this was a year ago. This came out September 15th, 2014. And I mean, they pretty much outlined it all. And people just go, nah, whatever. Let's just, you know, keep going with technology, transhumanism, putting in implants because, hey, right, it's going to cure all that ails you. We got the little doctors under the skin, the nanobot doctors that'll go in, search, destroy, and repair. Why not?
And since most of the work will already be done and automated by robots, a sedentary way of life will ultimately take over and make us all a little bit bigger.
So we're all going to turn into big, blobby human beings that have no use. We've talked about that before. I mean, that's the end game. That is where there really isn't anything left. I mean, we should all be standing up screaming about this. All right, so some of the stuff we talked about yesterday, I don't know, guys, I'm just rambling here. But some of the stuff we talked about yesterday was how food, these edible vaccines, some of the transdermal vaccines, the intranasal vaccines, right? They've discovered all these great new ways and the best ways to get nanotech into our bloodstream through the blood-brain barrier to be able to access all the secret areas that they can change things. So I want to back up this. So we have some of this, all kinds of Alzheimer's research is going on, and there's this epidemic of dementia globally. And they're like, oh my God, we don't know how this happened. It might have been this. It might have been that. How did this happen? When we looked at malformed proteins, we had dug into some of the new Alzheimer's research that they were doing on how to cure it. They could use ultrasound to break those amyloid plaques. They could, I don't know. It's been a long week. There were a couple different ways that they had come up with treating Alzheimer's, but the ultrasound was the most interesting way. And when we started digging into all this, we said, hey, wait a second. They now think that Alzheimer's was caused by malformed proteins very similar to mad cow disease, chronic wasting disease. Oh my God, guys, I'm having a real hard time this morning. Whatever else. All these mental disorders. Who cares? Only 10 people listen to the fucking show after I'm done. Anyway, I want to bring this up. So I found a story way back when we were digging into the connections between mad cow and potential Alzheimer's, where they decided all of a sudden that we don't need to do testing and all this meat, because don't worry about it. The beef industry is too huge internationally. And if countries start banning the imports of beef, of course, that's going to be devastating to the American economy. So check this out. I guess there was a meatpacking farm, Creekstone Farms. And they, when the mad cow outbreak happened, they wanted to be able to test every single cow on the farm before or after slaughter. Actually, they have to do it on a dead animal, so it would be after slaughter. They needed to get these tests. And I think it was the USDA. It's the Agriculture Department. Oh, someone's trying to call. It's the Agriculture Department wanted to block the testing because they said, no, we don't need to test every single cow. We really don't. So anyway, check this out. I guess there was a court ruling, and most people did not catch this. But back in 2008, this is in August 29, 2008, the U.S. can block mad cow testing. It says the Bush administration can prohibit meat packers from testing their animals for mad cow disease, the federal appeals court said on Friday. The dispute pits the Agriculture Department, and I believe that's good old Tommy Vilsack's in charge of that, which tests about 1% of all cows for potentially deadly disease, against a Kansas meatpacker that wants to test all of its animals. But damn you, you can't test all your animals. It says larger meatpackers oppose such testing, of course, and if Creekstone Farm Premium Beef began advertising that its cows have been all tested, other companies fear that they too will have to conduct the expensive tests. Oh my God. Making sure the food supply is safe is expensive. So guess what? We're not going to do it. It's just like deciding that because we don't have enough employees at the FDA, that we're just going to allow, with all these damn imports coming in from all these other countries, we're just going to allow the country of origin to test their own food. Because, hey, you know, we trust Chinese chicken. It's very disturbing to me. And all this research that we've done to find out how unsafe our food supply really is. And then when we start digging into how what we consume actually affects our body, how completely, amazingly complex DNA is, and it's the interactions between microbes, and we're going to look at the microbe thing, and fragments of DNA from other living organisms and how they combine. I mean, the story that we read yesterday said that our DNA is always changing because we absorb DNA from things that we are exposed to in our environment all the time. So if that's the case, anything that we consume is going to affect us. And if anybody remembers Sesame Street from the 70s, the reason why I don't eat fish, I'll give you the story here in a minute. You are what you eat. I remember that very distinctly, and I'll tell you why. I was 5 years old, sitting in my father's captain's chair in a phone book, eating a tuna fish sandwich on Roman Pride whole wheat bread. I will never forget this. We had a fish tank on the chopping block in the kitchen, which I know that sounds like a weird place, but it actually was a good place. It was kind of off to the side. And as I'm eating my sandwich, Sesame Street had been on that morning doing the whole you are what you eat, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, however that went. And I was eating my tuna fish sandwich, five-year-old little mind, clickety-clickety-click, and I'm watching one of my goldfish eat the other goldfish's poop. And I remember thinking to myself, if that goldfish is eating the other goldfish's poop, and I'm eating a fish, then I'm eating poop. So I have never had fish since then. But it's absolutely true. Good thing for the five-year-old brain because it saved me a lot of grief over the years. Anyway, let's go back to this mad cow story. So, if this one farm decides that they're going to start testing their beef, all other cattle farmers will want to test their beef too. We can't have that. Because we might find more than four cases in 10 years. Oh, no. All right. The Bush administration says that the low level of testing, and they said, oh, you can't do that. We can't. No, we can't do that. So now what they're doing is, before the cow goes down and can't walk anymore, now they just put them out of their misery before they tell anyone. And I am guessing, just like we saw in some of the stuff that they were doing with cancerous cows, where they were just swapping out healthy heads for diseased heads, that they're probably doing something similar to this to hide the pickle. It's another one of those hide the pickles. Don't tell anybody because, hey, it takes 20 to 40 years for mad cow disease, Alzheimer's, chronic wasting disease, CVJD, CJD, any of these dementia diseases of the brain to show up. So who the hell's going to know if it's been infected beef, if it's been Benadryl, if it's been bad lifestyle choices that have contributed to your dementia? You know, there was another story too. And of course, right before I went online, everything went to freaking syrup here. So even trying to scroll like any of my stories, only half of the stories would load. There was another story, and I'm not done with this one, but there was another story that a Todd cow prions. Oh, here they are. No, this is the bovine. The mad cow prions, which are proteins. They're not viral. They're not bacterial. They're not fungal. They're proteins, but they're malformed, demented proteins, I like to call them. They're folded incorrectly. And once they get into your body, they cause a chain reaction. So other ones start misfolding that then cause the Swiss cheesiness of your brain. So you start losing your faculties. Well, they found that plants also can harbor these malformed proteins. And they found that when they've infected a field, let's say, that even if they burn that field, that the malformed proteins still come back. And one of the things that they discovered way, way, way back in when they first started looking at mad cow was the fact that, whoops, sterilization procedures of heating or boiling or alcohol on surgical instruments wasn't necessarily killing the proteins. And when they were doing, and they could have potentially, and still are potentially, passing that on between people. Well, a story came out, and we looked at this. This was probably a few weeks back now. You know, after they started saying, oh, look, Alzheimer's also has malformed proteins, very similar to mad cow, very similar to CJD. Well, then they came out and said, oh, no. Well, that means that any of these people that have quote unquote Alzheimer's, who've been getting surgeries, and not just like surgery on your brain, but we're talking also dental surgeries and brain, blood transfusions. They've been doing standard sterilization procedures on instruments. They haven't been testing for any of this stuff. So for the last 10, 20, who knows how many years, it's very possible that we have been getting infected with this prion disease. That, I mean, they've been aware of for quite a long time, but we covered it all up. We covered up the mad cow because we didn't want to test. It was too damn expensive. Whoops, it's kind of like Alzheimer's, but we have an outbreak now globally everywhere. It's got to make you wonder. Anyway, we're going to finish this little story about the Bush administration. The Bush administration says that the low level of testing reflects the rareness of the disease, and mad cow disease has been linked to more than 150 human deaths worldwide, but mostly in Great Britain, so don't worry about it. In this time, which was 2008, there have only been 3 cases reported in the U.S. involving cows, not humans. Well, now I believe we're up to 4. Wow. How amazing. 4 whole cases in what? 8, 10, 5, 7 years? That's just incredible. It must be so amazingly rare. A federal judge ruled last year, 2007, that Creekstone must be allowed to conduct the tests because the agriculture department can only regulate disease, quote unquote, treatment. But since there is no cure for mad cow disease and the test is performed on dead animals, that is not a treatment. And remember also that during this time, good old Georgie Porgy was a Texan with lots of friends in the cattle industry. Now we see exactly why this happened. We could not damage the global cattle industry because when it first came out that there was mad cow, countries wanted to block all of our meat imports. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit overturned that ruling, saying that diagnosis can be considered a part of the treatment. And we owe the USDA a considerable degree of deference in its interpretation of the term, said Judge Karen LaCraft Henderson. The case was sent back to the district court, where Creekstone can make other arguments, except I didn't see much after that, honestly. So I'm assuming since 2008, they have not really been doing any major testing. They pulled all the nerve tissue supposedly out of the food supply because they were using brain nerve, optical nerve, all those little gangly pieces that they took out of the cow to render back into cattle feed and chicken feed and other creatures, putting it into dog and cat food. And I don't know if they got rid of putting that into dog and cat food, but at that time I stopped buying beef food for my animals, just so you know, because I figured if there was any, they weren't going to throw all that gangly stuff out. They're going to use it somewhere, probably put it in your cat chow. But they can't put it back into the human food supply, supposedly. So it's not going to become pink slime to go into your hamburger. But regardless of that, like I said, if the animal is infected, if it's in their blood, and now they're saying that this amyloid plaque malformed protein that's a part of Alzheimer's that now they think can be related because of these malformed proteins to all these other brain-wasting diseases, they've discovered that it could be transferred through blood transfusion. And they did discover packing plant. That I could guarantee you that those blades were not cleaned to any type of spectrum where they'd be looking at getting rid of these proteins they apparently didn't know existed or couldn't be sterilized. Danger, Will Robinson. I mean, it really horrifies me at how unsafe our food supply actually is. So now let's to continue on this line of unsafe food and being able to infect us with things that they told us there was nothing to worry about. A new story comes out here September 18th, so a couple days ago. Cattle leukemia virus. I didn't realize that leukemia was a virus. Cattle leukemia virus found in milk linked to breast cancer. And this is a new study. Women exposed to bovine leukemia virus, a routine presence in bulk milk tanks at large dairy farms, are 3.1 times more likely to develop breast cancer than women as a kid, or drank, in this case, milk. These odds are higher than those associated with other top breast cancer risks, including obesity and alcohol consumption, according to researchers at the University of California, Berkeley. The research team analyzed breast tissue from 239 women, some of who had breast cancer and some who did not. And they found that 59% of breast cancer cells showed exposure to BLV in their DNA, while cells from women who had not contracted breast cancer only had a 29% exposure to BLV. The link between BLV, bovine leukemia virus, which while common in dairy and beef cattle, mind you, nobody's talking about the beef cattle, only affects about 5% of cattle that have the virus. Yes, so they have the virus. They're carriers of the virus, but it doesn't affect them, so don't worry about it. And breast cancer is significant, the researcher says, but it is a non-conclusive cause and effect. Well, I would say there's a little more research needed. They, you know, I read a story about this the other day. They've known about this stuff, I believe, since the 50s. And in Europe, what they ended up doing when they first found this bovine leukemia virus in the milk is that they culled all the cows that were infected. And they did a pretty damn good job of eliminating it from the food supply. But here, they said, screw it. You know what? We don't think this affects humans. And look, only 5% of the cows that have the virus seem to be affected. So, don't worry about it. And so they let it go. So all milk just about is contaminated with this leukemia virus. All right, here's a quote. The association between BLV infection and breast cancer was surprising to many previous reviewers of the study, but it's important to note that our results do not prove that the virus causes cancer, says Dr. Gertrude Berling, a professor of virology at the University of California, Berkeley. However, this is the most important step. We still need to confirm that the infection with the virus happened before and not after the cancer developed. And if so, how? Well, how else would people be getting bovine leukemia virus if it wasn't from bovines? Come on. Maybe it's not the milk, though. Maybe it's the meat they're eating. Who knows? I'm just saying that from everything that we've learned when digging into some of this DNA stuff is that be careful of what you eat. It really is that important. And don't trust the labels because the labels don't mean anything anymore. They got rid of half of them. You don't need to know what country your food comes from. The FDA isn't inspecting anything that's imported anymore. Because guess what? Oh, we don't have enough money to pay for inspectors. We have Congress questioning the $1 million last year racked up on credit cards for, who was it? Hold on. We're going to go out there. Was it the NSA? The FBI. Hold on. We're going to look at this. $1 million in hookers and booze that the taxpayers just footed the bill for some of our federal agents. Yet we don't have enough money to inspect the food that's coming into this country. Yet that's, you know, we have enough to make bombs, lots of bombs. Here, we have enough money to spend to get all of Hillary's emails back. I guess the FBI came out and said that, yes, they will be able to get all of her emails back. So put in a seatbelt. That should be amusing. Oh, shit. And I don't see this. I don't know. I post stuff and it just vanishes. So maybe we won't. But it was $1 million. Congress is now questioning some federal agency. I thought it was like the FBI or the NSA, whatever. We'll find it later. I don't want to lose my train of thought, and I already did. All right, let's finish the story. Tissue analyzed by the research team was donated via the Cooperate Human Tissue Network. Who knew we had one of those? The odds of having breast cancer if BLV was present in tissue was 3.1 times higher than if BLV was not present in the tissue, said researchers. This odds ratio is higher than any of the frequently publicized risk factors for breast cancer, such as obesity and alcohol consumption and the use of postmenopausal hormones. In 2007... this is the year before that court ruling about mad cow. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, again, good old Tommy Vilsack's department, reported that 100% of bulk milk tanks at dairy farms with at least 500 cows, 100% tested positive for bovine leukemia virus. While a whopping 80, and so that was with at least 500 cows, while a whopping 83% of operations with less than 100 cows, so even the mom and pop farms also tested positive for bovine leukemia virus. The researchers said that the new research did not posit a direct correlation between BLV exposure and breast cancer, but if the link does further materialize, there is what? Oh, a hope that as vaccines have been developed to counter the hepatitis B virus, yes, that's what we found out was the very first GMO vaccine on the market to inject into your newborn babies, the known cause of liver cancer, and they have a human papillomavirus vaccine as well, which we also know uses virus-like particles and nanotechnology, which causes cervical and anal cancer. There's hope that there may be a vaccine for BLV in the future. Of course there is. You know, I'm almost thinking that they let this stuff go so we would have some new crazy epidemics that everybody would have so they could test some of our their newfangled vaccines on us. And if I didn't know any better, if I weren't a thinking person, I might think that. Quote, if BLV were proven to be a cause of breast cancer, it could change the way we currently look at breast cancer control. It could shift the emphasis to prevention of breast cancer rather than trying to cure it or control it after it has already occurred. Yeah, how would that be? To maybe inspect the food supply for cancer-causing and life-changing, debilitating diseases before you release it to the public? Yeah, that might be a good way. The research team did not identify how BLV infected human tissue. The virus may have been delivered through unpasteurized milk. Oh, yes, those crazy people who drink whole milk. Undercooked meat or via another human. Just like I said, this could be transferred just like we were looking at mad cow and Alzheimer's. And now that they're thinking that DNA can be uptaken, is that a phrase? Can be uptook, can be absorbed. And they're discovering this can be absorbed by the human body from other organisms and they become incorporated into your genome. How dangerous is all this crap? All right, there's one more story on this, and this is out of the Center for Disease Control, May 2014. So interesting that we just get a mainstream story, and it's kind of mainstream. It was RT that came out on September 18th of 2015, but the CDC already had research published a year and a half ago, May of 2014, bovine leukemia virus DNA in human breast tissue. Abstract, and this might be really technical, so I don't know if we're going to read this whole thing, but bovine leukemia virus, BLV for short, a delta retrovirus, causes B-cell leukemia / lymphoma in cattle and is prevalent in herds globally. Now, what was interesting, too, about them mentioning prevalent in herds globally in the CDC document is that in the research that I did, it had been at one point, but they eliminated it in the herds mostly globally, except for in the United States, who said, screw it. A previous finding of antibodies against BLV in humans has led us to examine the possibility of human infection with BLV. We focused on breast tissue because in cattle, BLV DNA and proteins have been found to be more abundant in mammary epithelium than in lymphocytes. In human breast tissue specimens, we are in DNA sequencing. Variations from the bovine reference sequence were infrequent and limited to base substitutions. In situ PCR and immunohistochemical testing, localized BLV to the secretionary the secretory epithelium of the breast, which is the milk, and our finding in the BLV in human tissues indicates a risk for the acquisition and proliferation of this virus in humans. Further research is needed to determine whether BLV may play a direct role in human disease. And when I read that about it being localized to the secretory epithelium of the breast, it made me wonder, if you were infected with this and you breastfed your child, could you be potentially feeding your child bovine leukemia virus through your breast milk? Wow, wouldn't that cut down on the population? Oh, it just might. All right, we'll continue a little bit more here. Bovine leukosis, which is the B-cell leukemia lymphoma, first described in 1871 in Lithuania, was believed to be an infectious disease because it spread through herds of cattle. In 1969, so it was in the 60s, a virus isolated from cultured lymphocytes of cattle in an afflicted herd was identified as the agent bovine leukosis. And since then, bovine leukemia virus has been extensively investigated. Since 1969, except this is the first time I'm hearing about it. It is a Delta retrovirus closely related to human T-cell leukemia virus, the HTLV, and has a typical retroviral genome regions. LTR, which is the long terminal repeat, GAG, the group-specific antigen, Pol polymerase, reverse transcription region, which synthesizes a DNA copy of the BLV RNA genome. However, unlike other oncogenic retroviruses, Delta retroviruses have an additional region called TAX, which has regulatory functions and is oncogenic to host cells, causing malignant transformations not through integration and insertional mutagenesis, as many retroviruses do, but by inhibition of DNA repair and transactivating disruption of cellular growth control mechanism. So it prevents your DNA repair, so you just start going into major damage, I guess. I don't know. But, you know, whatever that means, I mean, I don't have a degree in any of this stuff. I'm just saying it's closely related to human T-cell leukemia. They've known about it since 1969. They know that it's been spread throughout cattle all over, yet they did nothing about it. And they continue to allow it in our food supply and said, don't worry about it because we don't think it'll infect humans. Yes, another example of them keeping us safe. They still insist, though, that they're found worldwide. BLV infected cattle herds are found worldwide and in the United States. 38% of beef herds and 84% of all dairy herds and 100% of large-scale dairy operation herds are all infected. God, guys, this is just incredible. Absolutely incredible. It's like the majority of the milk, I mean, all the milk from any big farm and more than a third of all the beef herds. And how many of those are they really testing is the question. Could be way more than what we think, just like we only had 4 mad cow cases ever. On an average, clinical leukosis develops in greater than 5% of these cattle, which are excluded from the market as a result. So if they show symptoms, even though all these cows are infected, many of them don't show symptoms. But if they show symptoms, then whoops, we pull them out of the food chain. But anyway, these cattle, which are excluded from the market as a result, but BLV infected lymphocytes are also found in the blood and the milk of subclinically infected cows. So it's in the cow blood. Concerns that this virus might infect humans through exposure to food products from subclinically infected animals prompted 10, count them, 10 studies that used what were then state-of-the-art immunologic methods to test serum samples from a collective total in the whole world, 1,761 humans, including cancer patients, farm workers, and veterinarians. And they did these 10 whole studies between the years of 1975 and 1979. Now, you know, the fact that they knew that all this was out there for 30, 40 freaking years already, and that their testing was in the 70s, don't you think they might have retested it for safety again when we got a little more technology, when we went to 486 DX266 computers? You'd think so. In these studies, no antibodies against the BLV were detected, meaning that people haven't been exposed, veterinarians, cancer patients, farm workers, or humans. Well, all humans that they tested. I also saw, though, well, we'll get into it, but meat packers, they've been finding a huge increase of infection in meat packers. Back to where I was. In these studies, no antibody agents of BLV were detected, prompting Burridge to conclude in his review article, quote, "There is no epidemiological or serological evidence from human studies to indicate that BLV can infect man." Yes, the studies from 75 to 79 said that. The advent of immunoblotting, which approximately 100 times more sensitive than techniques of the 1970s, enabled the detection of antibodies reactive with the recombatant purified BLV P24 capsid protein in serum samples from 37% of the 257 self-selected human volunteers. This study, and do they say when this study was? Because they don't. This study could not determine whether the antibodies that were found were a response to infection or merely to heat inactivated BLV consumed in food products. However, injection of sheep with raw milk. Since when do they inject things with raw milk? From BLV positive cows stimulated antibody production, where injection with pasteurized control milk did not. So what's that saying? That's saying unpasteurized milk actually caused an immune response. Pasteurized milk didn't cause an immune response and allowed you to get infected. In fact, that the majority of us, those of us who drink milk, are drinking pasteurized milk. That should be a red alarm. The finding of antibodies to BLV in humans prompted us to investigate human tissues for evidence of infection with BLV by using liquid phase PCR sequencing, in situ PCR, and immunohistochemical testing. We focused on breast tissue because in cattle, BLV DNA and P24 were detected in mammary tissue, whereas only BLV DNA was detected in lymphocytes. Cells and DNA used to test cross reactivity of BLV primers and anti-BLV P24 monoclonal antibodies with other viruses are listed with their sources in tables 1 and 2, which we're not going to look at those, except for fetal lamb kidney cells. Cell lines were stored in liquid nitrogen for use. And before the experiments were performed, the species of origins of all cell lines was authenticated. Well, that's great. Coated human samples were acquired from the Cooperative Human Tissue Network. Breast tissue acquired from female patients who underwent breast surgery during 2000 to 2005 at participating hospitals in four catchment areas: Birmingham, Alabama, Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Oakland, California. The Institutional Review Board of the University of California, Berkeley, approved human subject use, and bovine control tissue came from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, as described. And we're not going to read through like this pretty detailed, like exactly how they did all this testing. Let's go down to the results. Human samples were selected from 219 breast tissue samples, 97, which is 44% of the samples, had positive tests for BLV by nested iSPCR that used primers from the most conserved BLV genome region. Five tax-positive samples and one tax-negative sample as a control were chosen for in-depth molecular analysis on the basis of BLV status. This is still, like, way too technical. Let's get down to the meat and potatoes. During the four decades since BLV was identified in cattle, there has been considerable interest in determining whether humans could become infected with BLV, especially because, yes, cattle are a major food source. And as in early serologic studies, previous cellular and molecular studies reported no evidence of human infection with BLV. An explanation for some of the negative findings could be that sufficiently sensitive reagents and techniques such as PCR and sequencing were not available when the studies were conducted. Yes, called cover your ass. Why, for 40 years you knew about this and said that it was okay to eat. Most previous studies also focused on leukocytes, the cell type involved in bovine leukemia lymphoma, and we focused instead on mammary epithelium in which we had detected the BLV DNA and protein in the cattle. In situ techniques enabled confirmation that BLV was localized within the mammary epithelial cells. Evidence for BLV DNA and protein in humans is not surprising. Many viruses, including those that are oncogenic, are known to cross species naturally. And most microbial species pathogenic in humans are speculated to also have had an animal origin at some point in human evolution. Once in the human population, most zoonotic viruses can then be transmitted among humans, a process that poses the most serious health threat to humans, right? Once they jump from animals to humans, then they spread easily between humans. That's called a pandemic. BLV is known to cross species readily. The virus infects Cabrera, zebras and water buffaloes naturally, sheep, goats, pigs, rabbits, rats, and chickens experimentally. Human cells are also susceptible to infection with BLV in vitro. I mean, can you believe this? So now it is fully proven that it crosses species, that all of our milk cattle are infected. A large majority of our beef cattle are infected, yet we haven't put the brakes on anything. And this is pretty disturbing. Says, in summary, multiple lines of evidence support the conclusion that the BLV DNA and protein we found are more likely to represent the in vivo presence of BLV in humans rather than to represent some other virus, molecular laboratory contamination, or an artifactual non-specific reaction. And in view of the potential public health impact of BLV in humans, the CDC recommends that future research should address how humans acquire BLV infection, how frequently the BLV infection occurs in different populations, and whether or not the virus is associated with human disease. Dr. Buring is a professor of virology at the Infectious Disease and Vaccinology Division, School of Public Health at the University of California, Berkeley, and her research interest is BLV, including the presence in the mammary glands of cows, hormone response, glucocorticoids, and the effects of its infection in humans. And there we go. That's where the story ends. So, hey, we recommend more research. Yes, we found evidence that it passes to humans as well as all these other animal species easily. It's in the majority of our milk, a good majority of our beef, which you are consuming on a daily basis. But don't worry about it, because the courts ruled in 2008 that, yes, even though we know that there may be mad cow out there, we don't need to test for it either, because it might hurt our cattle industry. I just couldn't even, I honestly, when I ran across that story the other day, I could not believe it. So we're going to end the show here with something we started on last week. House Bill H.R. 1599, titled The Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act of 2015. Yes, the Safe and Accurate Food Labeling Act, aka the Dark Act. Now, of course, they're trying to spin this that this is going to be for your safety, but it's not. It's amending the Food and Drug Regulation laws. Says this is to amend the Federal Food, Drug, and Cosmetic Act with respect to food produced from, containing, or consisting of what? Oh, bioengineered organisms, the labeling of natural foods, and other purposes. One of the things that this is going to do is remove any non-GMO labels that were passed through the states individually, and they're going to make it now not mandatory, but voluntary, which we found out they made voluntary for a lot of other things, like telling people whether or not they were putting cloned food into the food supply, which we found out also in 2008 was approved rubber stamped. Since 2001, they've been talking about it, but they agreed in 2008 that, yeah, cloned food is... cloned cows, cloned, I think sheep were the only ones that were excluded, cloned pigs, cloned chickens. A chicken is a chicken and a pig is a pig and a cow is a cow. Don't worry about it. And we don't need to label it. Well, they don't need to label GMOs either. They don't need to label any of this shit. And as we find out that the FDA is responsible for all kinds of fraudulent research that's been published, the FDA doesn't have enough inspectors to inspect our food. They're doing the sniff test, for God's sake, out of the seafood coming out of the Gulf of Mexico to see whether or not it's safe to consume. And they're allowing foreign countries and the countries of origin, where they got rid of all the labels now, so you don't need to know what country your food comes from, but those countries that are shipping that food in are responsible for making sure it's safe for your consumption. Yeah, I feel really, really safe. And to add insult to injury, as we know all this stuff is going on, good old Obama, and we also talked about this the other day, good old Obama has an initiative now for a study of the DNA of a million people as a federal initiative as part of his precision medicine edict. An Obama initiative seeks to channel a torrent of gene information into what? Oh, the treatments of cancer and other diseases. Yes, what a wonderful setup this has all been. Now that the majority of America is probably infected with bovine leukemia virus, hey, number one, and, you know, it'll be interesting. They find it in breast cancer tissue. How many other cancerous tumors do they find it in? You know, they're going to have cures for everything that ails us now because of our poisoned food supply, and they're going to poison us more with all the mad science gone mad GMOs. Obama is proposing to spend $215 million on a precision medicine initiative, the centerpiece of which will be a national study involving the health records and DNA of a million volunteers, the administration officials said in January. We also read about that eMERGE project, which is in the process currently right now of taking all the electronic medical health records that they've been working on for the last 10 years or so and merging those with DNA databases, one of which they were gathering from that 23andMe. Remember, we talked about that. Sergey Brin, the founder, co-founder of Google's wife, runs trip with the National Institute of Health. It'll be amazing what they're going to be able to find, especially if they start finding mad cow and bovine leukemia virus in all million people. All right, guys, well, we ran out of time. I did not have enough time to cover all this, but make sure you guys stick around. Mr. Kevin Blanche is up next, and it is Thursday, so we have Ron live at 7 p.m. Eastern tonight. We have Hal at 8, Drew or Chuck at 10, and SM gets to 11. All right, guys, have an awesome